Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we bring Sunday home. Join us as we dive deeper into First Baptist's weekly sermons, discuss practical applications, and answer your questions. Hello and welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast. I'm Jordan Upton, and with me as always is Pastor Jeff Reynolds. Jeff, how are you doing today?
We have sprung forward. The sun is shining later. It's frigidly cold outside, or at least it is as we record this. But the sun is shining bright in my old Kentucky home, and I'm very grateful. So, Jordan, how about you?
Me too. I'm very grateful. Yeah, changes in the air. There's really good Christian content out there. There's spring coming outside. We hear the leaf blowers going in the background.
That's right.
So things are happening.
If you hear a leaf blower in your feed, that's really happening right now. But that means that leaf blowers are needed, and they're blowing grass that has been mowed, and so it's good things.
God is good. Okay, so today we're talking about Apollos. Last week we talked about Aquila and Priscilla, and then this week we're focusing on Apollos in Acts 18, 24 through 28. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only of the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Okay, so we got a little bit of background in this in last week's episode. So if you haven't listened to that, you'll get a lot more out of this week's by listening to that episode. But focusing in on Apollos here, it says that he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus,
yes,
though he only knew the baptism of John. So what does that mean? What is specifically the baptism of John, and what's missing from Apollos' theology?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you go back to the Gospels and you read about John the Baptist, that he was baptizing in the wilderness, his baptism was described specifically as a baptism of repentance. So he was there coming in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for the coming of Messiah. And what he was doing was he was telling people they were sinners and needed to repent. And so what John's baptism was really an outward sign of, yes, I understand my need for cleansing. I understand my need for repentance. And you got to understand, baptism or ceremonial immersion in water was not something that was foreign to the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. That's why there are mikvahs all around the Temple Mount in Israel, in Jerusalem, because when you were coming up to the temple, you would go through and you would have a ritual cleansing to prepare yourself to be in the presence of the holiness of God. And so that wasn't necessarily something that was out of the ordinary. John, though, is out in the wilderness, not on the southern steps of the temple, for example, or at the Pool of Siloam. John is out in the wilderness in the Jordan River calling people to a general sense of repentance. And getting in the water was an act of cleansing, of repentance, of confession to God of their sinfulness and need to repent. Baptism today is more an act of affiliation with Jesus. In other words, it is symbolic in nature, but it is not merely symbolic of an act of repentance toward God. It is an act of affiliation with the crucified and resurrected Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so when Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, for example, in Matthew 28, that his disciples go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, what was he commanding them to do? He was commanding them to go and make disciples, to bring people into the fold of trusting and following Jesus, and that the outward expression of that affiliation was being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And throughout the book of Acts, you see people being baptized, and specifically they are being baptized many times in the name of Jesus himself. And so this is an act of affiliation with Jesus himself, not merely an act of cleansing or of repentance. So what Apollos didn't understand at this point was that the baptism that he was proclaiming was not the baptism that John the Baptist was proclaiming. There was a difference there. So he also probably didn't know about the coming of the Spirit of God at Pentecost and the thousands of people who were baptized in and around the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. So he knew Jesus. He knew Jesus's message. Now, you got to ask the question, how did Jesus and his message make it all the way to Alexandria? So how did that happen? But regardless of how it happened, and we can guess, but the Bible doesn't say, regardless of how that happened, we know that Apollos was a Jew. So he worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he had come to the recognition and realization and believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. And not only had given his life to trusting and following Jesus, but had also given himself to proclaiming Jesus.
Yeah, that makes good sense. I mean, Jesus was teaching for about 3 years publicly and, you know, had been running around in Jerusalem and teaching. So it makes sense that people could have heard about him and believed that he was the Messiah, but then have, you know, gone back to where they'd come from and then not heard about, you know, all the events of the Holy Spirit falling and then, you know, his particular disciples and the baptism of and the baptism in his name.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very possible. But what's neat is Apollos had a heart to trust and follow Jesus, and that was coming through, and a willingness to grow in his understanding of what it meant to do that. So that's a big deal. I mean, just think about for just a moment, if you go back to the Sermon on the Mount, that's Matthew chapters 5-7, just how paradigm shifting Jesus's words were. You didn't come along and say, well, you have heard it said, like in the law of Moses, but I say to you, implying I'm going to go beyond or in some sense, perhaps even contradict. Now, we know Jesus didn't come to contradict the law. He came to fulfill the law. But if anybody said, like, it would be like me saying today, well, you've heard it written in 1 Corinthians, but I say to you, well, First Baptist Church should fire me if I ever start doing that. So Jesus, even in the Sermon on the Mount, was teaching some pretty amazing things, some pretty paradigm-shifting things. And so his teaching was already pressing the edge of the envelope. And so, yeah, very possible that people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, even in the region, without even knowing of his great commission and his ascension unto glory.
Now, this made me think about the concept of progressive revelation. So what Apollos believed was true, it's just he was missing some of the newest revelation. So he was missing that, you know, the Holy Spirit was poured out, you know, and the disciples need to be immersed in the name of Jesus. You know, but then Priscilla and Aquila bring him up to speed on that, and then, you know, he's able to better understand the past and then better understand the future of God's story. So is the term for this correctly progressive revelation, is that what that is?
I think to Apollos, yes. And let me say, to be very, very careful with what we might call progressive revelation today. I heard a pastor one time, and I believe it was Tommy Nelson, the pastor of Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, who said, be careful building your doctrine off of the book of Acts, and here's why. What you see in the book of Acts is the birth and expansion of the early church, and what's happening with Apollos is a perfect example of that. Apollos hadn't yet learned of these historical realities that were very, very new within the context of the church. And the things, frankly, that happened with regard to the day of Pentecost and then the salvation of Cornelius and his household that you saw when the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, these Jewish people are speaking in tongues, giving evidence of the Spirit's coming. They were speaking in known tongues, whereby the gospel was being shared with people from all around the world who had come to Jerusalem for the festival. And so when you get to Cornelius and the Holy Spirit comes upon these Gentiles, what do you have? Well, you have God confirming in Gentiles what he's already shown in Jews, indicating that these events are being caused by one and the same Holy Spirit. And that became a big part of the Jerusalem Council. Ah, so the Holy Spirit has come upon the Gentiles as he has come upon the Jews. But you don't see that happen every time somebody gets saved, which is why, as good Baptists, we don't believe that the coming of the Holy Spirit is a second blessing subsequent to salvation evidenced by speaking in tongues. Because, yes, that happened at the day of Pentecost. Yes, that happened in the life of Cornelius. But again, you're having God show forth his visitation of these people, his coming to them, giving to them his Holy Spirit. But that was unique to that time. So we got to be careful building our doctrine off of the events of the book of Acts. And one of the things that I would say to be very, very careful about is this idea of progressive revelation. Progressive revelation in the book of Acts is Apollos didn't know yet and he learned. Progressive revelation in the book of Acts is Apollos didn't know. And he's talking about events that were decades old at this time. I mean, you know, this is all very new. Mm-hmm. Progressive revelation in 2024 is that God is continuing to add to Scripture in ways that might even contradict what is already written, and that is not right.
Yeah.
You got to stay away from that. Whether somebody's giving you an extra revelation, a New Testament of revelation of Jesus Christ, maybe, or whatever the case may be, if somebody's coming up to you saying, well, God told me to tell you this, and what God evidently told them to tell you is in direct contradiction to the Word of God, you know that's not from God.
Yeah.
Because God is not going to contradict himself. Over the years in meeting with people, I will never forget, I had a husband one time sitting in my office who had cheated on his wife. And he said the Lord had told him that this new woman was his soulmate, and so he was good to go with her. And I said, you are not listening to the voice of the Lord. You are listening to a voice that is trying to mimic the voice of the Lord. But here's one way you can know it's not the voice of the Lord. God's not going to contradict himself. And you stood at an altar with that lady and you made vows, not the new quote unquote soulmate, but the woman that you stood at an altar and made vows and promised your life to so many years ago. So no, I'm sorry, you're not hearing the voice of Almighty God. And he was offended, but that's okay. We need to be very careful and particularly, I really miss Lifeway. If you want to know the truth, I miss Lifeway stores because Lifeway stores were under the governance, really, of the Southern Baptist Convention, but under the governance of a leadership structure where, by and large, if you walked into that store, you could trust anything that was in there because it had been vetted. Unfortunately, now that Lifeway has closed their brick-and-mortar stores, we have one Christian bookstore that I'm aware of in Bowling Green. It's wonderful. But you get on the World Wide Web, and it is the Wild West. And so many people will claim Christianity, and they may use the same vocabulary list, but they're using a vastly different dictionary. And to be clear about what I'm saying, they may say, well, we're talking about Jesus, but when you ask the question, who is Jesus, you could get a whole host of answers that are untrue, non-biblical. They may be talking about God, but who is God? Define that. And if we're not talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're not talking about God. We're not talking about Yahweh. So I think it's just very, very important for people to really vet the books they read, the authors they read, the shows they watch, the things they listen to. Of course, we're coming up on Easter, and that means all of my favorite channels, the Nerd TV channels, are going to have specials about, oh, did Jesus really live? Did Jesus really claim to be the Son of God? Did Jesus really die on the cross? Did Jesus really rise from the grave? Here's new revelation that tells us that these things aren't so, and you know, here's Dr. So-and-so, scholar of biblical whatever at such and such state university. I mean, you just have to be so careful mm-hmm. because Satan masquerades as an angel of light and lies masquerade as truth. And they will use the same vocabulary list, but they will be using a vastly different dictionary. So I just want to encourage everybody, just be careful. Be careful about what you take and what you take as gospel truth without vetting it first with Scripture. And look, that's why it's important to be in church community. That's why it's important to have spiritual leaders in your life, spiritual guides, pastors who are willing to say, yeah, this is good or this is not good. And weekly, I have people ask me about resources. So mm-hmm. I would much rather somebody ask me about a resource, ask me about an author, ask me about a speaker, and might have to say either, yeah, they're great, or you might be careful, and here's why. Then for somebody to get lost along a path of deception that uses, again, the same words, but just defines those words very, very differently.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about using the same words but with different definitions. So, you know, I help run the social media for a Messianic Jewish organization, and on several of our posts, we've had Muslims come on and comment and say, like, if you really want to follow Christ, you should follow Islam. And we believe that all of the Old Testament and the New Testament statements are true, but we have the furthest revelation of God.
Right.
So you should really follow Islam. And it, to me, it's just, you know, it's just funny sitting on, you know, a Messianic Jewish, you know, place on Facebook, and, you know, you have like an Islam post that's like, oh, we're actually right. But,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
But the point is, you know, that's the thing with Islam, right? It's saying that Judaism and Christianity were true, but we have the furthest revelation.
Right.
We have the most progressed, if you will, revelation. And that's simply not true. Like you said on Sunday, you know, the canon is closed. The Old Testament, the New Testament are set, and we have to hold everything to their standard.
That's right. Well, and it's why it's one of the things I love about Baptists. I didn't grow up Baptist, so, you know, but if you go into a Baptist church, most often the pulpit is in the center of the stage in the kind of, you know, the central position of authority, and it has nothing to do with the preacher. It's that the Word of God is the authority in the room, and that's so vitally important. But you're exactly right. And listen, I'm telling you, there not only Islam, but there are plenty of other religious groups that yeah. will bike up to your front door and say, here's another testament of Jesus Christ, and did you know he had a dog, and you know that, and it's so dangerous. And well-meaning people will say, well, yeah, I love Jesus, and this is about Jesus, and no, that God has given us His Word. And he said, that's it. And that's why, you know, you said, well, what about the Da Vinci Code? And what about the Council of Nicaea? And what about all these things? And well, that's why they had the Council of Nicaea. That's why that they needed to clarify, because there were these counterfeit books of the Bible coming out and people writing under pseudonyms. And that's why we call it the pseudepigrapha. They were writing under pseudonyms. These were not apostles of Jesus. These were not eyewitnesses to Jesus's ministry. These were people who lived centuries later, who are writing fictional stories that they're trying to pass off as biblical stories. And that's just not the case. So that's important, very important. So yes, Apollos was learning new things about Jesus, but you got to understand, we're very close to the time of Jesus when this is happening. In 2024, we don't need to learn new things about Jesus. God has revealed those things to us.
So in summary, am I correct in saying that progressive revelation is the way of understanding the progression of revelations from Genesis through Revelation, but once you get past Revelation, there are no major revelations that are being progressed?
Yeah. For example, and I'll say it again, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." If I get up and say, Galatians says this, but let me tell you what it really needs to be. First Baptist Church needs to be looking for a new pastor if that happens. And so, yeah. And that goes to a whole host of conversations that are happening today that are saying that, yeah, the Bible was written for 2,000 years ago, but that is not the way things are today. God has grown. He has progressed. And so X, Y, and Z are just fine now, whereas they weren't fine in biblical times. Well, that's just not true. It's just not true. And again, you may be able to get away with it with somebody who's even got the title Reverend in front of their name, but at some point we're all going to have to stand before Almighty God, and nobody's going to get away with anything when we stand before Almighty God.
So that'll take us into today's practical application question. So Paul warned the Corinthians against factionalism. He told them that they were saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. So essentially they were saying, you know, I really like this apostle and, you know, he's my apostle. I'm following him. Or, you know, I really like Christ. So, you know, I'm following him. And that's problematic. It's an interesting problem, though, because we are all disciples of Christ.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, we as disciples are discipling other people, but they're also disciples of Christ, not specifically our disciples.
Right.
So as we disciple others, how do we keep it clear to them and to ourselves that they are not our own disciples?
I think it's repetition, quite frankly. I think it's, look, saying those words out loud, like, you know, I will fail you. I promise you, I am a fallible human being. And yes, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I would say, yes, come follow me as I follow Christ, but recognize Christ is perfect and I am not. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so important. And I think, look, I read a post yesterday that said this statement, celebrity pastors are destroying the church. And, you know, we don't have people arguing over Paul, Apollos, Cephas. Now we have people arguing over their favorite preacher in sneakers or whatever the case may be. And I would just say, man, that's so dangerous. That is so dangerous. One, as a preacher, I can tell you there is this pressure to build your brand, right? And I have to battle against that because it's not about my brand. It's certainly not about Jeff Reynolds. It is, it's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And so I consistently have to come back to this reality. I am the delivery mechanism. I am, you know, the U.S. mail, UPS, FedEx, or whatever your favorite is. I mean, you know, I'm just giving you the package that God has sent. And my job is to do that faithfully. My job is to be a faithful servant. My wife, you know, I've joked that the delivery drivers don't even have to look at the address anymore. They just know the package goes on our front porch, right? So, but whenever they bring a package that, let's say I ordered a new pair of running shoes or whatever, and I'm really looking forward to getting them in. And when I get them in, I rejoice in the shoes, not in the deliverer. And
yeah.
So same thing here. Rejoice in Jesus, not in the deliverer of the message of Jesus. And of course, there are going to be people that we connect with better. There are preachers that I could listen to them all day long. And there are preachers that, that's just, bless their hearts, they have a different style than what captures and captivates my ear. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having people. And then, of course, you also, again, have to be discerning. Is this individual preaching the truth? Is this individual preaching the Word of God as the Word of God and seeking to apply the Word of God to my life? Or is this somebody who has great aspirations of being a motivational speaker and they've put a little bit of a Christian bent to it and that's it? And so I think I would just, again, seek to be discerning, test the spirits, but don't say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow fill in the blank of your favorite contemporary preacher. Mm. Because again, every preacher is just a servant, a delivery driver who sets the package in front of you. Rejoice in the package, not in the deliverer of the package. And the package is Christ, crucified and resurrected, who alone is the way to God the Father. So we always rejoice in Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. and not in the one who shares Almighty God with us.
Amen. So actually, I was really curious if the Epistle of 1 Clement, an early church document, I was curious if 1 Clement referenced Apollos. And in fact, it does. And he references this incident that was going on in Corinth where they were having factionalism about the apostles. But this is written several decades after the Epistle of 1 Corinthians. And Clement writes and says, well, you know, with that generation, they were, you know, being factionalist with the apostles. You guys are being factionalist with people who aren't even apostles.
that's a great word.
Yeah. So it was just, I don't know, encouraging? I don't know. It's encouraging to see that, like, these are problems that were happening even early on and that we're still struggling with. But, you know, we have the guidance of, you know, the Bible and these early church, you know, church figures like Clement who are telling us, like, hey, just stick with the apostles, you know. Yeah. And what are they telling you? They're telling you to stick with Christ. They're saying that you're disciples of Christ.
Yeah, that's so right. Yeah. And again, I have so many friends who faithfully proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people come to me and say, oh, should I go to this church? I'm going to tell you what my criterion is do they preach the Word of God as the Word of God? Hmm. Do they preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected as the Messiah of God, that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone? That's how I'm going to recommend a church or not. Now, that said, there are plenty of places even here that I would not recommend because— unfortunately, they don't preach the Word of God as the Word of God. If you're ever in a situation where they say the Bible has truth in it instead of the Bible is true, that is the red flag. Take off running. Because if the Bible just has truth in it, then that means it also has falsehood in it. And that's how they're going to proclaim that to you. And I would not recommend that church at all. But we have so many good churches in this area, and we need more. We support church planting in this area. You say, well, there's all kinds of churches in and around Bowling Green. Can't they find one? Well, the issue is not can't they find one. The issue is, are they going to find a body of believers with which they can connect and with which they can trust and follow Jesus in a community of faith that's going to seek to make the world a better place in the name of Jesus? And so we need all sorts of churches, big churches, small churches, house churches, community churches. But again, the central criterion is, do they preach the Word of God as the Word of God? And do they preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected as the only way to God? Those are going to be my key criteria in recommending a church. Not their music style, not the guy's preaching style, not, you know, just those are the main issues.
As always, Jeff, that was eminently practical. I really appreciate it, and the listeners really appreciate it. Listeners, if you have a question that you'd like to ask Jeff, just go to the link in the show notes or comment on the post below. Can you pray us out for today?
Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the truth of your word, and we pray against deception. We know that the enemy masquerades as an angel of light and that he is a liar and the father of lies. And so, Lord, we pray that there would be clarity in what is true and what is not. And we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Help us stand firm in the truth. And help us, Lord, to continue to be built up in your truth, that we might help build others up as well. But as we build others up, as we seek to make disciples, may it always be that we are seeking to make disciples of Jesus, not of us. For Jesus' name is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, Lord, help us to make much of Jesus in everything we are, and everything we do. We ask these things trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel. To submit a question about Sunday's sermon, the Bible, or walking with Jesus, click the link in the episode description. Our hosts today are Pastor Jeff Reynolds and myself, Jordan Upton. Our engineer is Elliot Beckley, and our editor is Chad Walden.